Your wife?
Yeah. They're going to try to knock
some
of the
back of you. Just want to make sure I ask for prayer for it. Okay. Next one. All right. 1 John. Book of 1 John. That's just before Revelation. And we are in, let's see where we're in here. In chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 18. Yes, sir.
Mic.
Oh, you want my mic on? All right. I'm on. I'm wired for sound. For those of you who don't know, we put all of my messages on the on our website at FlorenceBaptistChurch.com, and so you can take and listen to things I have to say and things I don't have to say and things like that. All right, verse 18 of chapter 2, it says, "Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the," what?
Last
time. Wow, what were we just talking about? You know, the word last time here means last hour. It reminds us that the end time is really closer than we think it is. If John in his time thought that the Lord was going to come back possibly in his lifetime, how much closer are we now than what he was then? You know, if you take and you look at prophecy and you look at the things that have happened and how they've happened, you'll see that in the time that John was living, Christ could not come back. He couldn't come back. In fact, I can remember as a child sitting in a pew listening to these old-time evangelists, and you probably did too, Bob, just sitting there and listening to them holler and shout and pound their fists into the pulpit and say, "The end is coming! The end is coming!" I mean, I can remember that. I mean, they just scared me to death. They really did. But you know what? The end couldn't come back then. The end could not come until now. And the reason being is because of technology. If you go to the book of Revelation, you look in the book of Revelation, it talks about two witnesses. And it says in there that every eye shall see them. Back in the 1950s, 1960s, that couldn't happen, because we did not have the technology we do today. You know, today, all you have to do is go to your smartphone and you can take and dial up wherever you want, anywhere in the world, and you can look at what's happening there. And what we need to realize is now technology, God has allowed technology to come to a point where the end could come at any time. You know, we are right now looking at all of the world governments coming together. All the world governments are starting to align themselves into one world government. They already have a world currency ready to come out. No one knows about it too much yet, but it's ready to come out worldwide. There's also a blueprint for the new temple in Jerusalem. And they are already putting away all of the material that's going to be needed to build this new temple. Now this is all, we can see it coming. I mean, it's happening. In fact, they're trying to breed a red heifer so that they can have the blood of the red heifer to sprinkle on the altar in the new temple. Now, what we need to realize is that the end is coming. And even John said, hey, the end is coming. The end is coming. And he's saying, now, no man knows when the end will be. I don't have any idea. Only God does. But John knew that it was going to be coming soon, even in his time period. But no man knows the time or the return of the Son of Man in 1 Peter 4:7 and John 6:39-40. But Paul uses the man of sin, man of perdition, the wicked one, as the Antichrist. And many Antichrists there are. Now, what we need to realize, what is an Antichrist? An Antichrist is anyone who is against Christ.
Yeah.
That's an Antichrist. Anyone who says they're an atheist is a what? Believer of Antichrist. Anyone that does not believe that Jesus came, died on the cross, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scripture is an Antichrist. The spirit in the world which oppresses or denies Christ. Satan's spirit, or Satan, has been in the world since he sinned against God. You know, there are many antichrists or spirits in the world. This means that there are many who are against Christ. If we are not filled with the Holy Spirit, then guess what? A person could be filled with other spirits. Amen? If you don't believe that, go over across the road over there where the big fence is and go in there and you can see people who are filled with other spirits. I hate to say it that way, but that's the way it is. You know, there's an awful lot of false teachers who embody people today who teach false doctrine. Well, we need to realize that these false teachers are trying to propagate things that are not true about God's Word. You know, I look at a lot of these TV evangelists and things like that, and I listen to them. The other night, I was I couldn't sleep, and I was sitting up, and I was working on some stuff. I had the TV on, and all of a sudden, this show came on, and this guy gets on there, and the first thing he said was this, "If you want to be rich, you need to take and send X amount of dollars to this address. And God will take and just pour His blessing." I'm thinking to myself, really? Wow, is that something else? You know, there's nowhere in the Bible that says that God will, if we give to Him, is going to give back. He says that He'll supply our every need, but He doesn't say that He's going to give back to us monetarily. You know, I think a lot of times people get that all mixed up where they think, well, you know what, God has to give me money in order for me to do this or that. Now, I don't know about you, but this has happened to me many times where I prayed and I said to God, I said, I need money for my rent, I need money for the light bill, I need money for this or that or something else, and you know what? All of a sudden, He gives me food. And I'm thinking to myself, God, that isn't what I wanted. I wanted money. But then I got to think, wait a minute, hold it. He gave me food so I don't have to spend my money on food so I can use that for the light bill.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God answered my prayers. But you know, He answers our prayers many times in different ways. But you know, a person who will heed the final rebellion of Christ is going to be the Antichrist. Now, in verse 19, it goes on to say, they went out from us, but they were not of us. Not really saved. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt had continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest or revealed openly that they were not of us. Not everyone who calls themselves a Christian is a what?
Christian.
A Christian. You know, we need to realize that in the day and age that we live in, there's an awful lot of people who call themselves Christians who have no idea what a Christian really is. You know, they can go to Plymouth Baptist Church and not be born again. They can be people going to church with us and really are antichrist or counterfeit Christians. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13 real quick. Matthew chapter 13. If I can find it, there we go. Starting in verse number 18. It says, "Hear ye therefore a parable of the sower. When any man heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." Now, as you know, this is the parable that he gave of the sower, and now he's interpreting what it was that he said in the parable. This speaking of Jesus, but verse 20 it says, "But he that receiveth the seed in the stony place, the same is he that heareth the word, and Ion with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he cometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, but bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. So here we see that there are people who say that they're Christians, but they're not. The first one that we saw was one who rejected the word. The second was one that said a prayer, was happy about what he did, didn't get rooted in the word, and when trying times came, he gave up. The third said a prayer, started to live in the world, and it choked him. He had no fruit. The fourth said a prayer, believed in his heart, read the Bible, grew daily in the Lord, and when hard times came, he was able to endure because he was rooted in the Word of God. He led many to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why we have to make sure that we know who we believe in. You know, this is so very true. We can't lose our salvation. Once we're saved, we're always saved. We need to understand that. You can't lose your salvation. However, you can lose your rewards. And when we get to heaven, I really believe that we're going to take and we're going to see a pile of blessings that Jesus is going to say, "Okay, here's your blessings that you got, Bob. This is what you get. This is from all the work that you did on earth. Here's your blessings. But you see this pile over here? That's what you could have had if you would have done everything that you were supposed to do for me." Amen? I really believe that. I believe that we are missing a lot of blessings that we could have because we're not doing exactly what God wants us to do in our lives. Verse 20, it says, But ye have an unction, that means putting of oil, special a gift, anointing of the Lord from the Holy One, and ye shall know all things. There are two words used by false Christians in John's day. First was knowledge, and the other was unction. Unction, which meant to be given a divine power or knowledge of God, like the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and they believed that if they got baptized, that they had supernatural powers when they really didn't. You know, they really didn't have the supernatural powers. After the powers were taken out, after the Bible came in, the powers were not like they were. Verse 21, it says, I have written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of truth. You know, who is a liar but he that deceiveth the Father and the Son? Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. What we need to realize is this: a person who will not listen when the gospel message is given to them has no hope of eternal salvation. None. Zero. You know, when the Holy Spirit is talking to their heart and saying, you need to accept Jesus as your Savior. When that's happening and they're going, no, I don't want it. No, 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 no. And they turn around and they reject it, that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. They have no hope. There's no way that they can possibly get to heaven. And what we need to realize is that when the Holy Spirit speaks, we need to take and listen. Verse 24, it says, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. What was the beginning? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What we need to realize is that if we've heard it from the beginning, then we should know it, right? You know, I'm 64 years old, and I heard the gospel message from the time I was 2 days old. I was born on a Friday, and my mother had me in church on Sunday. And I was in church ever since. Now, you know, I heard the gospel message over and over and over and over and over and over and over. But I did not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior until I was 8 years old. For 8 years, I heard the gospel message, but I did nothing about it. Then one day I realized that I was a sinner. I realized there was a penalty for my sin. I understood that Jesus paid that penalty, and I accepted Him to be Lord of my life. And once I did that, I never again ever worried about where I'd spend eternity. Never once. Verse 25, it says, and this is the promise that He hath promised us, even what?
Eternal life.
Eternal life. You know, there is more to accepting Christ sometimes than just saying a prayer. You know, you have to believe in your heart, you know, that Jesus is who He said He is and did what He said He did. Because in Romans 10:9-10, it says this. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Two things have to be done. Number one is believing. Number two is asking. Two things have to be done in order to get saved. Then it goes on to say in verse 13, for whosoever shall call or speak upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The thing I like about those verses is it says shall be saved, not might be saved, or you be saved for a little while and you lose it, but you shall be saved. You know, we need to understand that if a person has a recipe for a cake and it turns out to be a pie, what went wrong?
Read the wrong recipe.
Yeah, read the wrong recipe. That's exactly right. You know, a person may have been sincere about making a cake, but didn't put the right ingredients in, and therefore it came out as a pie. You know, many times people, I believe, are like that. They don't put their heart and soul into forgiveness. That's why, Brother Mike, we see people say the prayer and never come to church.
Yeah. They don't mean it.
That's why it is. I've led hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people to the Lord over the years. And yet how many of them really, sincerely got saved? You know, I was reading an email the other day from a pastor in another church, big church, and they had a big soul-winning Saturday. And this is what he said. He said they went out and they led over 300 to the Lord on Saturday. They saw less than 25 come to church on Sunday. Why is that? Was it that they just said a prayer just to get people off their back? Or were they sincere about it and didn't want to show it? You know, we need to realize that once we're saved, there should be a change in our lives.
Yep.
Verse 26, it says, "These things I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you." Verse 27, it says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man need teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Seduction. The idea of being led astray. You know, if a woman or a man seduces you, they're leading you astray into something that you shouldn't be getting into. Satan is the father of lies. And I'll be honest, you know, you can hear it over and over. Oh, someday we're going to get married. And they never do. Satan is a great counterfeiter. He counterfeits ministers. In 1 Corinthians 11, 15, he talks about how that if he can turn himself into an angel of light, he can also turn in false ministers. You know, what happens, though, to the churches that they minister to? They preach a counterfeit gospel. And they even produce counterfeit Christians. This is why we have to be so careful when we listen to and who we listen to that say that they are Christians. You know, the only way we can be sure if a person is a Christian is how they live their life. Amen? All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for today.